I want to talk this morning. I want to invite you to respond in thankfulness for each other as we thankfulness for the community that God places us in, the people he puts in our lives to walk with God, to walk forward. I love that image, and I love the comment, is this even allowed? And then the image at the end of just pushing his brother over the line. It's a really strong image of something that runs deep. We use community a lot. Community is a buzzword. You need to put that on your website if you're a church, because, you know, a community is in. And the problem is that sometimes we just putting it on the website doesn't actually mean it becomes a reality. And community can be a bit of a buzzword at times. And sometimes I actually prefer a lost word, which is a building block of community, and that is friendship. There's something really significant, I think, about friendship that is a building block of community. And I just love that God has placed us to be friends, to be a community together. That's his design, his intention for our lives. And I want us to reflect on some things that just help us to respond in thankfulness this morning for that. So if you want, there's a couple of scripture readings that feel free to either just listen or look them up in your Bible in front of you. First of all, 2 Timothy 4, 9 through to 22, and then I'm going to read Romans 16, 1 through to 27. So just listen to some of these comments and remarks by the Apostle Paul. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he's helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Romans 16, Paul again. Here we go. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchreae. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way that is worthy of his people, and to give her help, and help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who is the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Jania, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the house of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. If you're looking for baby names, here goes. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobas, and Hermas, and the brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, and Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. This is God's word. Thankful that it's over. It matters who we journey with. And I love the fact that amidst the theology and all the dense stuff that the Apostle Paul writes and goes after time and time again, I love the fact that in his letters he takes time to name so many different people from so many that do so many big things and little things for him, and puts them and pens them, and the Spirit of God who is upon him guiding, overseeing this, sees fit to carve this out and craft this and put this in the words that we call as Christians Holy Scripture, something that reveals who God is to us. And we just get this sense from Paul, it actually really matters to him who he journeys with. You see his deep affection for the people who he journeys with. He cares about them, and they care for him in physical ways, in practical ways, in emotional ways. There are people that are there for the Apostle Paul. So we see in this, just by his pouring out of his heart and naming these people, we see his deep affection, but we also see his gratitude. Just that, thank you for doing this, thank you for doing that, and going out of his way to name as many people as he can who do small things for him and who do big things for him. And there's this incredible affection and this incredible gratitude. And I think it's powerful. I think it's really powerful. I remember when one of the moments early on when I first came to Adelaide Place, and it's actually one of my first moments when this is the one where I met Sam. And I remember one of the things I had a bit of a bugbear in my system as I came to Adelaide Place, I wanted to do some stuff with the worship and hadn't a clue how I was going to do it, what I wanted some things to do, but I knew I needed some things. And some of those things were like drummer and keys, right? It's just like, I wasn't too smart, but I knew I needed those things. And I remember walking around the reservoir in Mulgay and getting away to a group of students, and Sam, this is Sam, by the way, just to embarrass him at the front, plays the drums, plays everything. And I remember meeting Sam, and we just got chatting, and in his quiet way, eventually, after talking for like the whole way around, he pipes up with, oh yeah, I drum. And then I was like, oh, interesting. He's drumming, and then he's like, I play keys. I was like, and I was also interested how he plays, how good he was. And he said, well, I've got one of these Nord keyboards. And I remember going like, you're staying. I don't care if you want to go to Vineyard. You're staying. And we locked him in the cupboard for the first few weeks, and just till he got the point that he's staying. And the connection matters. There's a connection there, and there's something of God, and I don't know what Sam's side of his story, let's not worry about that, but there's a something of a connection that matters to what God wants to do in a place. And I'm not going to try and name everybody because that would just be silly, but I just to pick on Stephen and Kat a little bit, I remember, again, another moment I came to Adelaide Place, and my first moment, I came to preach and try and impress people for a job, sort of a situation. And I remember meeting Stephen and Kat and going like, I think we could actually be normal friends. Which, in my line of work, is precious. And I just there's something in that. And again, connection matters. Friendship matters. They're the building blocks of community. And I checked with Francis that it was okay just to mention this. There's one of Francis' husband, Norm, passed away within the last, just over a week, and we marked that last week. But Jack said a beautiful thing at the eulogy. Jack's my predecessor. He pastored Francis and Norm for many years. And he just said a beautiful thing about community in passing. And Norman was quite shy, and he was just quite a shy man, but as he was hearing for decades in this church, but Jack's comment about what the community was to him was it allowed him to come out and transcend almost his natural shyness and just become a different, the best version of himself. He didn't say that, but he overcame the shyness and became a different Norman because of something of the community here that allowed him. Somebody with a natural shy disposition. And again, it was going around my head. There's some, the connection matters. It really matters. It's something of how God has designed it to be. We need friendship. We need to build friendship. And we see in a snippet of Paul, he doesn't hold back. He doesn't just say it's all cozy in community. He names Alexander the metal worker who's kind of done him over. I kind of like that. He's just put it in a letter because we're so politically correct these days. We don't like to say anything. He just says Alexander's been a nightmare. And we don't have any Alexanders that I know of who have been a nightmare, so I can say that with freedom. And then there's almost Demas, who's like just deserted him, and he's like, give me Mark. He's useful. For these other two, have just been an absolute nightmare. And I kind of like that. There's kind of an authenticity piece about that. There's always opposition and strife in life, and we know that. And in any given community, you have it's normal, you know, as we in a real human beings clash against one another, you have opposition. And so we need friendship, I think, because opposition and strife in life is a reality. It's a reality in the workplace, it's a reality in the home, it's a reality everywhere we go. And I think we need to build friendship. And I just love that moment. It's the reason why I read that scripture in 2 Timothy. It's almost something surprising or insignificant where Paul's telling Timothy, get Mark and bring him because he's helpful. And he's like, would you bring me my scrolls? Would you bring me my parchments? And you almost get the sense of Paul, like, above all the massive things that are going on in the world, the big issues that are out there. And he said, could you just bring me my moleskin? Just could you bring it here in the pen? And that would be really, really helpful. Because small things matter. And it's funny, I was thinking there's two of the greatest sort of spiritual writers in the last 20, 30 years. I'm blanking on one of their names, Thomas Merton and Henri Nouwen. I've told you this before, they got together. So two of like total prayer gurus, they just pray all their lives. Like they just spend all their time with God. And you're like, right, what's going to happen when two of the most godly, Christian, prayerful type people, what's going to happen when they get together? You know, that's going to be deep. I mean, deep. They're just going to be doing deep Christian stuff. And what happened? And as the story goes, they just cracked open a couple of beers and chatted. And just chatted about stuff. And I don't think they put the worlds to right. I don't think they did anything significant. But I was thinking about it. Sometimes it's just the case that small things, small actions is actually what holds the thing together. Bring me my parchments, I need them. The small things we do for one another actually is what holds the whole thing together. And I think Paul, in his description, just describes something of the life that you should see in a community. And there's two aspects. What's going on here is basically there's the sense of the church is described, you could say, as a family. And Paul downplays sort of roles. He downplays, like, he could have picked leadership titles for himself, but Paul always chose to downplay the sort of titles he gave himself. Just fellow worker, co-worker. He used, like, agrarian terms of I'm a farmer, I sow seeds. He could have gone after stuff in the Roman culture which would have been like hierarchical and sound good, but he always downplays these things. And he talks about other people, men and women, as just fellow workers, co-workers. And he has this sense of we are a family here. We are in this. But the whole New Testament and his letters remind you they're not just an insular family. They're a family on mission, and his letters are filled with purpose. We're not just here to have a cozy family. We're a family on mission. And the moment we lose both of those senses in Paul, I think, is the moment we move away a wee bit from the New Testament. If you just want to do family, cozy, and like sit and cry and look at each other all day long, that might appeal to some, but it's not enough. There's a family, but then on the other hand, Paul says, we're here for a purpose, and it's to allow the family to get as big as it needs to get, to go wherever it needs to go. We've been singing about songs that are glorify your name in all the earth, in Spain, in England, and New Zealand, and places, or just lots of different places. You know, like, there's a sense of never lose that family on mission. There's a warning as well, implicitly, when we think about that idea of family on mission. Just like, as a family, let's not get blind to, just, it's kind of off the cuff, but sometimes I worry, just the churches in the West aren't always great places to be that. We can get very insular at points, and some of that manifests in the stats around how single people find church. Sometimes single people, when they come to church, go like, do I have to be married? Is married the goal? Do I have to be married to fit in, to get invited? And so there's just a real warning. Let's not be an insular, like, couple-y church. Do you know what I mean? Let's be a family on mission who are building a family and welcoming all sorts of people in here and holding that beauty of relationships, but never losing the zeal that Paul has to go and to reach out to others, the last, the least, and the lost, anybody, to draw them in to Christ. And so God places us together. And I was just thinking about some of you people that were standing. So Ian, Katrina, Johnny, Hannah, Stephen, Kat, Sophie, Rory, and Moira, and if there's anybody else, sorry, I missed you. As I was praying for you guys this week, I just came back to something that I wanted to reassure you with and maybe implicitly challenge you with. When we have new people who come to our church, we kind of sometimes do a newcomer thing. I always roll out a scripture that's kind of quite meaningful to me in the Old Testament, from Jeremiah, who gives this word to the people of God who've been taken into exile. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon: build houses, settle down, plant gardens, and eat what they produce. Marry, have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons, and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. I love the assurance there that of that little word, because it's not random where you're going, but it's actually to the place where you have been carried to. And I know sometimes the big decisions you make feel like, oh, am I taking this decision? Am I making the right decision? Am I going the right way? And there's a lovely reminder in the sovereignty of God, everything of what was going on. The Lord had carried his people to where they even didn't think they would end up being. But he's in control, and he guides, and he carries you to places. It's an incredible, powerful idea when you think about it, that when you step off the plane or the boat or the car, the train, when you land in a place, you have that sense of, actually, God's already been here. He's everywhere. He goes before. He carries us. That's a powerful idea. Never lose that. But there's also a sense when you're there, the challenge is, let's do it again. Build relationships. Put roots down. Live well in that place. Live well in that city. Because as you do that, you will bless the city and you will get close to the heart of God for it. Because you're blessed to be a blessing. And it might be hard to do that as you go again. But that relational, that rootedness is so important as you go. And that's my prayer. And it's summed up in the word peace that you, and we've talked about and prayed about that already, that you would go with a sense of carrying the peace of God, which is this beautiful idea of wholeness. And so I pray that for you, and we will continue to pray that for the people that are leaving, that you have that sense of being carried and that you find ways to live well for God and that rootedness. And so friendships in them, a wonderful thing. It's at the heart of the gospel. In Christ, God says you can become friends with God. If Christianity to you has become boring, lists of things dry, remember the heart of it is actually friendship with God, walking with God, being with God, knowing God, actually having the Spirit do things in our lives. Remember that's actually at the heart. Don't give up in that. Don't settle for a Christianity that doesn't have friendship at the heart of it, because that's what the cross through Jesus offers us, is friendship with God, a relationship, a living thing that actually means something, does something, looks like something. That's at the heart of it. That's what he wants for you. And he knows how to do it. He knows how to communicate with you. He knows how to relate to you on your level. God offers us that in Jesus Christ. He offers friendship, if you will take friendship. And so never give up on that, but it's a building block, and it's the heart of what God wants to do. If we're going to do something significant, it's going to be through a family on mission, and it's going to have friendship right at the core of it. And so that's me done. And the only thing that is left for us to do is what it says right at the end of Romans. It's a big holy kiss. So I did a wee bit of research on what that actually looks like. So on the one hand, for a holy kiss, and it needs to be holy, right? It needs to be holy. But then on the other hand, it needs to be a kiss, to be a holy kiss. And I was like, I'm kind of joking, but what does it look like to lead us in a holy kiss? Come back next week and somebody will tell you that. I think God wants us to just respond in thankfulness. This can be a healing community here. And I think it has been for different people at different times. And I think he just wants to get us to respond in thankfulness to him, for the way he works, for who he is, for how he offers friendship, but for how we build with each other. And that might sound like an invitation to some people. I don't have that yet. Don't settle for anything else but coming in and building friendship here. And so it might need to sound like a challenge or an invitation, but I think he's asking us to respond in thankfulness as we sing and as we worship and as we minister to one another and as we minister to all these guys around food together. We just minister in thankfulness because of who God is and the way he works, and that these relationships ultimately point to him and glorify him. And I just think that's so important. And it's just worthy of trying to do a corporate holy kiss in response to that together. So shall we pray together? And ask the Spirit to help us well up that spirit of thanksgiving for everything he's done and everything he's going to do. Let's pray together. Sometimes we just forget to pause, God, and say, wow, look at who you are. Look at what you do over time. And as we praise God from whom all blessings flow, we realize actually you have filled us with so many good things, so many deep things, people, depth. You bring purpose to our lives, and that you weave them in our hearts together. And you do beautiful things over time, God. And we sometimes just forget to pause and say, what a great, faithful God we have. And say thank you for the amazing ways you work. And we sometimes forget to thank each other and minister to one another. But God, may our hearts just overwhelm and overflow with gratitude and thanksgiving, because we love you and we thank you that you call us into something that has friendship at the heart. We rejoice in that this morning for your glory. Amen.